Is it your job to keep your clients happy with you? That's what we're going to talk about today.
Welcome to the Leading Edge in Emotionally Focused Therapy with your hosts, Dr. James Hawkins and Dr. Ryan Reyna. EFT is a dynamic model that humbles even the most seasoned therapists. Together, we want to come alongside you as you continually push the leading edge of your understanding and application of this wonderful model developed by Dr. Sue Johnson.
All right, y'all, we're back in the Stuck series here. And what we're talking about today will keep you stuck. Is it your job to constantly keep your clients happy with you? And I'm being clear there with constantly. That no moment can there ever be a rift or kind of like disturbance in the waves of attunement between you all. Because I'll tell you, this is me. I'll jump in and I'm going to invite Ryan in. This was a huge one for me. I could feel how it was like kind of cutting off my clinical effectiveness when I was trying to constantly keep them happy because it kept me away from doing some important things that were really necessary. So I hope this helps you all as well as it's helped me.
It's an important one, man. This is the episode I've been waiting to do for some time. I did a couple of consults with trying to get our language clean. I'm still not sure we're there, but we'll have a dialogue about it. How about that? We can always revise it later, I guess. But I want to give a clear answer. No, it's not your job. And I'll say it's stronger. You're probably not going to do couples therapy very long if you miss on this one. This is a really key point. Some context here. You know, from as you all hear us talk about a lot, James and I and others that we're associated with, really all of us as EFT trainers, we watch a lot of video. And then James and I have been doing more advanced trainings in different settings. And this becomes a big theme that I'm seeing, even from very advanced EFTers. And that is, let me back up one step. I think I say this, and I'm not just being nice, I really believe it. EFT draws some of the best people in the whole world. Mm. And I really believe that. And it's from all over. There's just something about the depth, something about the loving vulnerability, something about, you know, us people that want to spend the kind of energy that it takes to see the beauty in relationships that's often hidden. It really draws amazing people. That's the good news. Here's the bad news. Sometimes the people that it draws, we're so focused on attunement. We're so focused on therapeutic alliance, which are incredibly important topics, by the way, that we get stuck. Speaking of the Stuck series that we're back in, we get stuck trying to keep our clients happy. Mm-hmm. And that's not what attunement and alliance means. You are not going to be able to keep two people who have opposing positions to stay happy with you all the time. Mm-hmm. And if you do that, you're not going to get traction. Mm-hmm. Against that cycle. That's the bottom line that I see going wrong in a lot of cases. Mm-hmm. is people are so focused on not saying the wrong thing, making sure I don't hurt your feelings. And I appreciate the why of that. It's just the function of it, the practice of it is really problematic.
Yeah. Especially when, because Ryan's not just saying like you just run in a session and say whatever comes in your mind, but there are going to be these key critical moments when you do need to say something, and like even we just did the one on when validating one can trigger the other person. Well, if you know that trying to validate this one person is going to upset the other person, do you not do it? You know, you can't do that, right? Then you're going to, you know, kind of cut off some of your effectiveness. What about, and this is one I appreciate Sue, and I want to give Sue credit. I was listening to one of her trainings, and one of the partners kept saying something that Sue would say, like, that just isn't kind to the person's partner. Mm-hmm. And Sue was in her mind, like, what do I do with this? Because there's a part of Sue in her own self, and Sue's, I appreciate her transparency. She was upset and was kind of mad at the client. But she's like, I can't just come off and let that take over, but I got to do something with this. And I need him to see the impact of his words on his partner. So what Sue chose to do, she used reflection as a form of challenge. So, hey, I see what's happening in you right now. And as that comes up, these are the words you say. And when you say those words, though, I also see how it plays out here and how it lands on your, you know, Sue's words, like how it lands on your sweetie. Now, there's a form of a challenge. Sue, at that moment, that client might not like what Sue is doing, but she has to do it anyway. I don't know. That's kind of like a frame for me and thinking about what we're talking about. Sue can't avoid that because of how this is going to make this client feel. Because if she does that, she has now, in a way, this is my word, she's aided and abetted the negative cycle.
Yeah, that's right. And she's aided and abetted the thing that's killing them.
Oof.
You have a real opponent sitting across from you, and it's not your clients, it's the cycle.
That's right.
But in order to do battle with the cycle, an adequate battle to protect your clients, at times you're going to step on their toes.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to be okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
So you said something before we hit record today about self of the therapist stuff. So yeah. I think that's the first piece I want to start with. What are your thoughts on that, James?
So that's me going back into my story, you know, where I've learned to kind of keep my emotional world good and relationships good. It's I've got to find what makes you the way I deactivate the threat is do what makes you happy with me. The problem with that, though, is I've got. So let me not say the problem. Let me go ahead and go to the practical. So what we're talking about here is I've got to find a way to ground myself and remind myself, whatever that phrase or mantra you need to say to yourself. My job is to not let the negative cycle continue harming both of my clients. Because in that example with Sue, it's not just about him not hurting her. With most of our clients, hopefully, they feel bad about some of the things they do that they know hurt their partner, but they also don't know how not to do it. So I've got to be able to ground myself and remember, this is what they signed up for. This is a part of my job, is to try and do this. And even if things do get rough between us, I have the ability to make repair, which is the same thing that we try and get them to do in their own relationship. And by doing that, I've been able to experience success and help make me feel more grounded in it.
Yeah. If you had a client come in and say, you know what, I think I'm going to work on being more of a people pleaser. What percentage of us as therapists would be like, oh, man, that sounds great. We should do a lot of that.
Yeah.
Zero. Why?
Because you can't please everybody. And then in trying to please everybody, do you lose contact with yourself?
Yeah. It's not even authentic.
Yep.
There's all kinds of problems with that. But somehow we've translated that into our work. That in there, you know, because we love people, because we attune, because we alliance, we end up being people pleaser EFTers.
Yeah, I like that.
That doesn't work. That doesn't work because your clients, especially in stage one, especially your first 10 sessions, they're hypnotized by the cycle as a rule.
Mm-hmm.
They're disoriented. They don't understand what's going on. They don't know what they're supposed to do. They make up stories, usually blame. And so if you just attune with them and you just follow the emotion all the time, you're going to get stuck the same places that they do.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a chance to consult with Sue on this. I'll talk about it a little bit later, but that she was emphatic on like, yes, that's right. That's right. You have to find places where you get traction and say, hang on a minute, hang on. We're going to go a different direction.
And even that statement in and of itself, what Sue is saying is, because for some clients, they get mad at you when you say, hold on.
Yep.
But Sue knows if I keep doing this, we're not going to be able to help you where you need help. If I just follow, we've said it on here with George. If I follow your nervous system right now, we already know where it's going to go. And I'm trying to help your nervous system do something different.
Yeah. Alliance is not keeping you happy. Alliance is caring about what your experience is and caring for you and continuing to invest in you. But it's also, I'm loyal to where we're going.
Yeah.
Because what we know is your instincts are they've been damaged.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to be comfortable being the SWO. What's the SWO?
You got to help me out with that.
When you leave the weight room, you're
SWO. Oh, SWO.
No,
okay.
That's not what I'm saying. SWO is the stronger, wiser, other.
Oh.
At key moments, you got to be the SWO, right? Okay. Like they lose control of the car. You got to grab that wheel and be like, hold on. Nope. I hear you. I know you're trying to go for that road. This is what the cycle's telling you to do. I need you to trust me here. And we're not going to do it that way all the time. But at key times, you have to. And what I'm seeing is because therapists are so loving, sometimes they just come out a little shy right in that moment. I'll tell you two times when this happened. Once was at Core Skills 4. I think you were there. And then one was in an advanced training. I know you were there. And it was at the end of the trainings, which is a little frustrating because I'm like, I wish I would have addressed that a lot more. There wasn't time. Excuse me. But we were just rolling through situations that are very difficult. Mm-hmm. And we were doing like little mini demonstration role plays. One of them was a spiritual bypass. Mm. And the person was, I was the pretend therapist, and someone was saying something particularly difficult, like a really rude comment. And my comment was something like, yeah, I hear you. I really appreciate that your faith is an important part of this. I love what you bring to the table. I think it's a beautiful thing about you. It's also part of why you're a client, because that won't work. And I didn't think that much about that. But the whole room was like cringed. They're like, I don't know that I could say that. And I'm like, all right, so let's talk about why you couldn't say that. Do you literally not agree? Do you believe that that's hurting their relationship? Oh, yeah, I agree with that. So you're telling me you're going to just smile and nod at something that's going to hurt their relationship? And because both those people are getting hurt. Mm-hmm. The person who said that is just lost. That person's trying to imply some kind of theological position because he doesn't know what else to do. And it's just disorientation. Yeah. Like he's hitting the hood latch on the car, mm-hmm. trying to get on the interstate. It's mm-hmm. the wrong button. Mm-hmm. Right. And so, you know, it was a little bit ruptury. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I'm going to come back and move to repair. I'm never going to hurt someone and then leave the alliance awful. Mm-hmm. But I've got to find a way to mark this for them. I've mm-hmm. got to find a way to bump this cycle to keep it from continuing to hurt them over and over and over. So it was a lesson for me mm-hmm. that, you know, people are sometimes afraid to be the SWO. Mm-hmm. People think that might be bad therapy, right? So it might be some training that comes in too, where a good therapy, someone who just asks this amazing Freudian question, just sits back and listens, right? So I think we got multiple things putting in, self, the therapist, and so forth. So mm-hmm. we'll pick this back up after the break.
Do you like the content that you're hearing on this podcast? Well, we invite you to join us on successandvulnerability.com, along with George Fowler and other EFT therapists and supervisors, where you get to get more thorough insight into these concepts and actually get to see it done. Once again, join us on successandvulnerability.com. Okay. So, you know, I want to make sure, Ryan, to emphasize here, and by the way, just playing the SV commercial, we did just release, well, let's see, I shouldn't say this, we want to keep this evergreen. At the time of this recording, we had just released module 14 about alliance and assessment. But here's, you know, as we've been thinking about that and focusing, this is why alliance is so important. You build alliance, you start forming alliance, because eventually, this is an old term we used to use, you're going to have to borrow from that alliance in your relationship. Just like, you know, just like a parent does with their child. There's these moments when they have great attuning moments and they do things and they play in the park, they have candy, they do whatever, they sing, they read to each other, whatever, right? But there's going to be a time when the parent has to kind of like, hey, I know, you know, I've got to do this because I care for you. Right. And you have to have those moments of showing that you cared, and we borrow from it, and that helps kind of carry through these moments. So just wanted to come back in and like, this is why alliance is so important.
Yeah. What do you think about, you know, I'm a big guy, James. Mm-hmm. And you have kids. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about me tackling a child all the way to the ground? You for that or against it?
Against that.
Really?
You tackling a child? Oh, yeah. Wait. You got me, Ryan.
I got you.
You got me.
How'd I get you?
Because I just assumed like you just randomly tackling. But if my child, who I love, is running out in the road and they're about to get hit, I want Ryan to tackle them immediately. Even if Ryan breaks a rib. But if you save their life, I'm okay with that.
There you go, man. Everything's contextual. Yeah. And so would I rather just be friendly and keep my clients happy? And yeah, but sometimes that's about me wanting to have an easy session or not wanting to be too direct. So just what you said.
Yeah.
But there's times and places where I'm like, hey, I've got to come against what's coming against this. Mm-hmm. And how you do that can be your art.
And that's, I think, a good nuance, Ryan. We are not telling you to go and like, you know, go at your client. If you hear our language, we're coming at this negative cycle that we're even kind of assuming from a humanistic standpoint. We're even assuming, like even with Ryan, we talked about that spiritual bypass. He didn't blame the guy. He said that if y'all caught his reframe, he said, I saw a person who's lost. Mm-hmm. I got to come against and not let my client just wander out in the woods and get lost and keep running into trees and stumps. I've got to do something about that. Even if bringing up that lostness, it's going to be a little bit uncomfortable at first, but I got to do it.
Right, right. So trying to get practical here, and I'll tell you one of the things that I was doing a live in Montana. This is the first one I did there, so I know a lot of Montana folks listen to us, so thanks, guys. But the first one I did, you know, the second or third one I did was a lot of feedback on. It's on SV, by the way. You can purchase it. Mm-hmm. It was with a couple who came in with sort of a premature positive cycle, and I had to like do gymnastics to get around that. So that was a kind of a well-known one. But the previous one before that stood out to me, because this is a couple who, you know, fairly motivated but really stuck, and I had a male pursuer, and you know, I'm about 25 minutes in. And he blocks me for the fourth time with kind of the same block. Mm-hmm. And I remember, it's so funny, I can even think about it in the middle of session, just being like, I'm so thankful for my training, because this would have really disoriented me. And it was disorienting the local therapist, and for good reasons, I see it. But at 25 minutes in, I'm like, all right, I'm coming after that. Like, I'm not just going to keep letting that move chase me around the room. That's the cycle talking. And again, this person is nothing against him at all. He didn't know what he was doing. But when it came close to any kind of vulnerability, both his own and his partner's, he would go to intellectualization. Mm-hmm. Okay, and I don't want to point that out, because I'm not shaming that. Shame is not my go-to tool to handle this topic of, you know, this whole episode. I don't want to shame people. That's an area I don't want to go, because to me, shame tends to reproduce itself, right? But I also don't want to do what I would have done my first probably 15 years, which is just keep going around that block and hoping it goes away. Mm-hmm. So I want to move towards that. Mm-hmm. So I started to slowly make that covert overt. So I noticed this happens, and I so appreciate that. So I'm working a little bit counterintuitively with the block, because I do appreciate the fact that he's really smart. What I really appreciate, the fact that his life was really difficult. His whole family of origin, multiple complex traumas. And the only way he survived was outsmarting everything. So, shocker, that right in the middle of this unknown way of connecting with his partner, he just does what his life has taught him to survive. And, you know, for years I would have thought, oh, well, he needs to go deal with his childhood trauma first before we do that. And that might be a last resort, but that is the slowest, most painful way to help this person. Mm-hmm. So even in that session, I think I circled that move three or four times and with saying, hey, I really appreciate so you just did it again. And I love that. I mean, what you're saying is really accurate. Mm-hmm. You do a beautiful job. I think I used the phrase, you got that supercomputer in your head that's spitting out output, and it's great data. I just also need you to see what the cycle is going to do. So we're really showing the impact of the cycle.
Right there. I think that's the key line if we want to get practical here. It's like, well, so what do we do? What do we do? Did you catch what Ryan did? It's a little bit, if you've trained with us, CPR, what we do with blocks is Ryan catches like, hey, something just happened here. Maybe that person was blocking. It could be in moments when our clients are maybe doing something that is not safe for their partner or wounding. We've got to kind of be willing to catch it. Then Ryan moves towards it, and this is the part where it makes it non-shaming. He gives some permission to the attachment function of it, and he gives permission to the attachment function. Then Ryan has to reset the work back to either where we were or where the cycle takes over that we're trying to change. So I don't know. I just wanted to make it practical in that way, right?
Yeah, and I do want to say it's hard.
Yeah.
You know, I remember in that moment, it's the reason I was thankful for my training, because I had an idea of sort of how to address this. And for years, I just wouldn't have known.
And what makes it, when you say it's hard to do, what makes it hard?
It's a tightrope you're walking.
Yeah.
Because on one side, you don't want to shame that person.
There we go.
I don't want to become this relationship educator, which is kind of what we do sometimes when we feel a little bit lost. And that's usually the therapist trying to ground the therapist, by the way. There's your warning. Mm-hmm. Ask me how I know. I've done it many times. I did a little bit last week in a session. Anyway, I also, though, I don't want to overly rupture the alliance, right? So there's that side. On the other side, I don't want to keep allowing something to happen that's hurting them. Like, that relationship can't heal. His partner is alone, and so is he. Because right at the moment where it's time to connect, he just does what his body has sort of as now a learned instinct from his, you know, efforts to survive his whole life. So So I came at that block six or seven times.
Yeah.
And it was repetition. And all I need him to do is to notice it a little bit. Yeah. I don't need him to eliminate it. I'm not going to shame him. I'm not going to say, don't go to your head, stay to your body, talk about the emotion. That makes my skin crawl to say that. Though that's exactly what I'm trying to affect.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of all that, I want to look at the good reasons he has to go intellectualize things.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also want to invite him back to the room. And once with that validation, people are able to set aside some of that.
Yeah.
And then his heart comes forward, and we had, you know, six or eight really nice enactments in minute 40. Doesn't always go that way.
Mm-hmm.
But it sure wouldn't have gone that way if I would have let that, you know, if I would have let that continue. So life has taught me, go get it. When it's there, go get it. We're going to get it with love, and we're going to get it with organization and attachment views. But I've also got to find a way to challenge that, knowing that it might not make him happy for a short amount of time.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's the part, I think there's a couple things you said there. But that one is, I think when we're talking about this, if another locator for you all is, we can't let it continue. We can't let them continuing doing something that's hurting them. That's what we're talking about. And also another reason I think it's hard, Ryan, because it does go against kind of conventional norms in some cultures where it's like, where people like, you know, and I know there are times socially when it is rude to interrupt.
Right.
But that's where we're in our office. Like if you're in your doctor's office and you're doing something that's going to harm you, your doctor's not going to be like, oh, well, they're going to try and stop you from doing the thing that harmed you, especially on their watch. They're not going to just sit by and do that.
Right.
And so this is, I don't know, that's what I wanted to bring out. But that's a good key term. I don't want to allow you to keep doing something that's going to harm you.
Yeah.
Even if they're doing something like you said, but they're saying nasty things to their partner, but it's also harming them as well if they're there to try and restore the relationship.
Yep. Yep. So let's take a sidebar here and quote Sue a little bit.
Okay.
You know, so I was on my phone with her walking through some of this and chatting with her about a few things, and kind of four themes from her came to mind. They're pretty typical EFT stuff. Shocker, right? Talking to Sue Johnson. But her big thing is you got to interrupt. You know, and that's a piece that it seems a bit obvious to me, but I've been swimming in these waters for some time, and you have to interrupt. And she talked about really, really using externalization right from the start. Hey, it's happening right now. The cycle's getting you right now. The cycle's doing this to you. The cycle's having this happen, which is really, it's really a way to buy space for your clients and for you sometimes. And then the same thing we're saying here, making sure we're validating and normalizing. This happens. This is normal. I see this all the time. This comes with the territory. I know where we are on the map right now. We're not lost. This is hard. You know, even help me see it. Help me see what just came in the room right now when this happened. And then tracking the here and now cycle. So similar things to what we're saying. Those were Sue's kind of, you know, points to remember that she brought up. So this becomes this big theme. You know, and we've talked about that before. There's been an episode, probably 20 back, that talks about how do you confront an EFT. And I quoted then, and I'll quote again, Terry Real in his work, and because I think he's a good contributor to couples therapy. He has a different theory of change than we do in EFT, but I'm not here to talk about him. But, you know, he says you have to come against what's hurting their relationship. Mm. And I couldn't agree more. I think that's completely right. You have to, when something's hurting their relationship, you've got to come towards it. But he advocates more direct confrontation and really big on narcissism, which, you know, probably goes into some other stories somewhere. But, you know, I don't think that's necessary per se. I don't like to do a whole lot of direct confrontation simply because it's approximal to their experience. I don't live in their house. It's not me they have to please. I don't make the rules. And if I come at you directly, even if it works, it's such a sidebar. Now it's about me and do we agree and so forth. My confrontation, I don't even love that word, is to connect the dots that they're getting hurt more, right? So when we show the impact of the cycle, when we blame the cycle, that is a more approximal way to come against what's hurting a relationship. Trainees often don't like to hear that. But oftentimes the answer to our hard cases or to hard parts of their cases is you got to put that in the cycle. They're like, what else are we going to do? I'm like, what else are you going to do? until we can connect the dots and see how this does make sense and validate it and honor it and reflect it. And then, you know, problematic behaviors are the P in temp.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they are.
Mm-hmm.
So, but if the P, the protective action, stands out in isolation, the client's likelihood that they can change it goes way down.
Mm.
But if I can reorganize this and show how this person's intellectualization actually makes perfect sense off of a danger cue, a deadly attachment message, and some painful emotion that's been left disorganized and isolated,
mm-hmm.
and then, of course, you do this sort of bad thing, of course. So putting it in the attachment context already validates this, mm-hmm. reorganizes this, and mm-hmm. changes this, which makes space for something new.
But then I want to follow that mm-hmm. out. But then when you kind of go up into your head and you intellectualize, mm-hmm. what happens? What do you see happen? This is like thinking about your what do you see happen in your partner? What do you see happen in the relationship?
Nice. Exactly. Great question.
Because that's a hard one, because the cycle doesn't let them see that, not because they're a bad person, but that's a huge threat to see.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to see the dilemma of I'm doing something that's survival for me and it's worked for me in other parts of my life,
right.
but also have to witness, but I do see how it wounds you and devastates you.
Mm-hmm. Because the more he does it, you're right, it does send these horrible messages to the partner. And then the partner brings forth an even more protected version of themselves, which is exactly what this person doesn't want. And here we go again.
Yep, exactly.
And so, but every time we spin it up, the same behavior happens. And that's the reason that live was chosen for me. The therapist who sat to my left, who's awesome, by the way, is like, I get stuck here every session. I don't know how to move this.
Yep.
And so, you know, I just went a little more direct to it, but I didn't shame it. I didn't even say intellectualization. I'm just using that word for this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I just referred to how smart he is, how he tries to get on top of this. He tries mm-hmm. to really make sense of it, mm-hmm. almost like I can't come forward unless I make sense of this, which mm-hmm. makes so much sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
And yet when you come back, the cycle's already taken over.
Yeah.
So how can we team up against this? That's the externalization piece.
And so here's one of my moves that I've been doing recently when I know I'm about to take a risk, and I got to give Sue credit because I saw Sue do it in a live. And she kind of apologized for what she was about to do before she did it. I'm sorry, guys, but I need to take some risk here because I feel like I feel like I'm on the edge of something and I have limited time, so I got to do something here. And I've taken that, and this is what it sounds like for me when I know I'm about to kind of borrow or maybe do a challenge. Like, hey, you all, there's something really important happening here, and I got to comment on it. And it could be kind of difficult when I say it. So I want to give you permission to push back on me here. But I want to say it because if I don't make this really clear, it's going to keep doing bad things to the two of you, and that's not fair to either one of you. So here I go. What I just noticed happened right there. This client, he got so reactive to what his partner said and just wanted to light her up. Hey, so I know I'm about to push a little bit, and I get it. Your nervous system saying something happened here that is not right. It doesn't match for me, and your energy's trying to get my attention to see that something's not right. But I'm going to say something that's hard, and I know it's not what you mean to do, or at least I don't believe it's what you mean to do. But right in that place, when you turn the energy towards your partner and you told them that they didn't do anything right then in that moment, did you see them shut down? She turned away from you, and a tear hit her eye. So I appreciate what your energy's trying to do for your nervous system, and this is where the cycle sucks. You're trying to make a protest for your nervous system to get your partner to see something, but then it wounds her. And then she goes away. And it's kind of touching you right now. Am I seeing this with you? That's just mine. So I just give all this like kind of, I'm directly challenging them because they did just blow up.
Right.
And I'm calling it out. But I did kind of, I'm about to do something here. It's going to be hard. We can repair it later, but I got to say it right now.
And what you said there is really helpful because I want to be clear again. Coming after what's hurting the relationship is not the goal.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a necessary part to get to where we want to go.
Mm-hmm.
So noticing you dropping your voice right there, noticing you going back to here and now, live emotion, that's where we're going.
Yep.
In Montana, that was the nice, probably 11-minute stretch there before we finished, which was here and now, live emotion. I remember being silent for almost 5 minutes at one point. Mm. If you see me silent for that long, good stuff's happening. Right? That's my rule of thumb. If the cycle's winning, I'm going to talk a lot. If the
cycle's winning, you're not going to talk a lot.
If the cycle's winning, I am going to talk a lot. If the secure bond is winning, I'm going to go slower and softer.
I got the words mixed up. Sorry.
That's all right. But I like what you did, and it brings up the point there. Me coming towards what's hurting the relationship with some kind of move, which can be, you know, your art, it's not the goal. It's a means. Mm. So I want to give a metaphor and a summary, and then we'll be I'm done at least. You can say whatever. You know, so we're recording this early in 2024. Don't know when you're listening to it, but it doesn't really matter. But 2023, I worked out really hard. Mm. I trained really hard, trying to do some physical conditioning, trying to get ready for a big surgery I have coming up, all this stuff. And training for me, I'd like to get a little stronger. Mostly I'd like to lose weight too, right? And so I was talking to someone online, like a fellow, whatever, social media person who's also into training, and they just said, you know, tell me what your nutrition, which not always great. You know, they don't like McDonald's as much as I do. but no, he was like, actually, that's pretty good what you're doing. I can see how you're probably getting some, you know, some progress. And then he pointed out that one shake you're doing, that won't work. I'm like, what do you mean? It's protein. He's like, yeah, it's protein. It also has all these other things in it, including these chemicals. And he's like, chemical X is known to stop your body from producing as much muscle as you want. So is that mean or is that helpful?
Helpful.
It's helpful. It wasn't necessarily what I wanted to hear, but this is a consultant just saying, hey, this thing that you're doing here is messing up your progress. That was a gift to me, and that's all we're doing. Mm-hmm. But end of the day, I just want to say my summary, my Tango 5 here, is attunement is so important. Here and now, present process emotion is still the thing. It's where real change happens. Alliance, therapeutic alliance is so key. Please don't think that we're knocking those things. Mm-mm. And humanistic practice is a beautiful thing. Loving people well is so key. But you can't, that does not mean you're going to keep people happy. Two people with countering stories and blame and these issues, if your goal is so aligned and so attuned that you're scared to not make someone happy or you're scared to irritate them or even make them angry at you a little bit, you're not going to be able to do your best work. So we got to free ourselves up to recognize this is a part of the process. Mm-hmm. And if it gets too rough, stop what you're doing, come back and repair. Even if you have to split them the next session, once a year that happens to me. And it's just such a hard piece of work with the cycle. I'm like, hey, I'd like to see you. I've split next session. I'll go 10 minutes extra. Let's see you 40-40. 40 minutes, 40 minutes. And just like, hey, help me out. That was hard. I was pushing that edge last week. Are we okay? Do you know I got your back, right? You got to be careful doing that too much. I don't want to triangulate. But so we're going to repair. If I borrow from an alliance, I'm going to repay it. But I'm going to have to borrow sometimes.
Yeah.
And we got to be the SWO.
There we go.
There you go.
I think my move 5 here is I'm taking from Catherine DeBrun. We've had her on the podcast. Great trainer out of San Diego. But she was here in Arkansas, and she said the line about EFT, you know, we think it's only about safety. But in EFT, we take safety in order to be able to take risk. Yeah, we do. Yeah. We take, well, something like that. Well, the way I've taken it is this way. Maybe I got it wrong. Sorry, KDB. But it is this ability to where we do create that alliance, knowing I'm going to need to borrow from that. Because mm-hmm. the more alliance you have with people, and you're like, think about your own relationships, the people you feel the most bonded with are the people you can take more risk with to even say some hard things. But if you don't have a bond with them, it's kind of hard to say those hard things. So what I'm doing with my clients is, I'll say for James, I put a lot of work into alliance at the beginning. Mm-hmm. I do jokes. I learn things about your life and mm-hmm. hobbies. I find how to join you. And it's an authentic bond that I've built this rapport and goodwill. And I let them know how much I care about working with them and fighting for them and how I see the cycle. And I make the cycle so clear. And I'm like, this is not fair. I'm coming alongside you on your behalf, and we're going to beat that cycle. Because later on, and I did it today, but hey, in the midst of that work, we might have some rough moments when you're not going to be so happy with
we
James.
We will.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I probably still say it too mm-hmm. nicely. Mm-hmm. And there are times I'm going to have to interrupt. Mm-hmm. If you two get nasty in here, if that ever does come up, or whomever, if you're working poly, if when you get nasty in here, you say something, I can't let that happen. Mm-hmm. I will jump in and I will redirect it and get you to turn back towards me, and we'll deal with that. but it's all in behalf of you and your relationship. Okay? But I just need you to know, and if I land funny on you sometimes, let me know, and we can talk about that and repair that.
Love it. I love how you're making it overt right from the start, or as a part of individual attachment history.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
All right, y'all. Take it easy. Thank you so much. Remember, it's not on you to, it's not your job to constantly keep your clients happy with you, but it is your job to always pay attention to the therapeutic alliance and to not let them keep doing things that hurt themselves.
I'll say it even stronger. If you're keeping people happy all the time in the short run, they're going to be really unhappy in the long run. Because it's not the alliance with you that they're paying you for. Remember that. Yeah. They're paying because their relationship dynamics are broken.
Yeah.
And they've got to be replaced with something different.
Man.
And I know when you work with broken dynamics, it's hard. So as always, I want to say thank you so much.
Yeah, that's
for putting in the hard work, for grinding with people, for hanging in there and being patient. Keep repairing, keep repairing, keep repairing.
And I got one more on that too, because I was in New Orleans and I had to keep redirecting the client and alive. And people were like, how did that feel for you, James? Like, you had to redirect them so many times. But I see what your redirection did. Like, you got them to a place that they wouldn't have been able to do if you weren't there. And I said, and I probably said it a little bit too hard, but I'll say what I said to them. I'm more concerned with my clients healing and being healthy than I am with them liking me. Maybe that sounds a little bit rough, but I mean it, because that's because I care about it. All right. Y'all take it easy.
Thank you for listening. We hope this experience helps you push the leading edge in your work to help people connect with themselves and with each other. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave us a 5-star review. You can contact us at pushtheleadingedge@gmail.com. And you can follow us on our Facebook page at Push the Leading Edge. You can follow Ryan on Facebook at Ryan Reyna Professional Training and on his website, RyanReynaTraining.com. You can follow James on Facebook and Instagram at DocHawkLPC. You can also check out his website, DocHawkLPC.com.